It's Faith Radio Mornings here on this Thursday morning. Thank you for tuning in. I'm Ted Ross with PK, and we welcome back to the show our friend Leslie Vernick. She is a therapist and a regular friend of our show, offers a lot of help as a social worker, has written a couple of books too, and we'll highlight those in a moment as well. But she has a powerful message for us today.
Leslie, and thank you so much for joining us today, and I hope you had a great Easter.
I did. How about you?
Yeah, it was wonderful. Just being together with family and just going to church together. And it was just a beautiful day, too. So it was great. Now, we wanted to have you on to talk about some things that you were kind of meditating about during the Lenten season leading up to Easter. And I think this is a great teaching. So you're talking about five words that can change your life. Tell us what you found.
Yeah, you know, sometimes it's much more powerful for me to just focus on a very small piece of scripture than trying to race through and read it, you know, a big clump of it every day. And so for the Lenten season, I was focusing on these five words that Jesus said at the end of his life before he ascended into heaven after the resurrection. So the five words are, I am with you always. And as I was just contemplating those words, I was trying to take each word separately and kind of put into my life, and what would that mean if I really believed it? Because so often in my practice, in my coaching practice and in my counseling practice, I hear this word from Christians. I know that in my head. I just don't know how to live it in my heart. And so I have that problem too. And so part of scripture is to teach us to connect with God in our heart. It's not just information. We want to be transformed by that information. So these five words I was just meditating on, I am with you always. And as I began to get deeper and deeper into that meditation, I thought, I got to share this with other people because I think God's really showing me something powerful.
I appreciate how you reflect, too, on who exactly is saying this. This is Jesus, and you dig a little deeper into exactly who he is to us.
Well, you know, not everybody can say that and make a difference in your life. You know, your mother can say, oh, I'm always here for you, or your best friend can say that, but they're not really always there for you because they're busy doing their own thing, or they're sleeping, or they die. And so when we look at who's making this claim, one of the things that was a transition for the disciples in that moment was they didn't really know for sure if God was God or if Jesus was God. They knew him as their teacher. They knew him as their companion. They knew him as their friend. They knew him as the possible future leader or the Messiah, but they didn't, I don't think, fully grasp his Godship until after the resurrection. And so when he said these words after the resurrection, it made a big difference in their life because now he was God. He was the great I am. He was the one who knew, who was omnipresent, who was sovereign, who was love, who was good. And he was the one who was promising, I'm going to be with you guys always. I'm going to be with you guys always. And it's me, the great I am, who's saying this, who's making this promise, so you can really count on it.
And I love how that phrase, I am, to me has had a lot of deep meaning because it's simple. And it's kind of like, I am, period. It's kind of like when your mom would say, because I said so. You know, it's that present tense too, isn't it? It's just like, it's not like, well, that's what I did back then and just remember that. But Jesus is saying, I'm here. It's the here and now.
You know, and so just meditating on those words, if the great I am, if it's true that he is promising to be present with us always, what does that mean today? Mm-hmm. Like, how would I feel differently? What would be different in the way I made my choices today or how I felt about what happened to me if I knew deep down in my spirit that God, the great I am, was right there with me? I think it'd make a difference.
Yeah, Leslie, do you have maybe just an example, a hypothetical perhaps, for how this could literally change somebody's life?
Well, I think that one of the things that the scriptures teach us constantly, and I think we err as Christians on one of two sides, that we have to look out of a lens of life, out of two different lenses, two different eyes, two different focuses. One is the temporal, and the temporal, as Jesus says, life is hard. Life is hard, and it's going to be tough, guys. And so, you know, pull up your bootstraps because this is going to be a wild ride here, and be careful because you've got a devil who's going to devour you or try to devour you. So life is tough, and sometimes we get caught just looking at life is tough, and this is hard, and I don't know how to do this, and God isn't with me, and where are you, God? And we lose sight of God. And then the other side of it is that hey, this is just a dress rehearsal. You know, there's a whole bigger kingdom here that we're not even aware of. And there's a whole big spiritual battle and spiritual realm that we don't see. And Paul says, you know, what happens to us is temporal, but what we don't see is eternal. And if we fix our eyes on that, we can feel differently. He says that in 2 Corinthians. And sometimes Christians get very glib about that side and say, oh, don't worry about this. You know, it's just temporary. God will work things all out for your good. And we forget that there's real suffering in the temporal, and we just look at the eternal. But Jesus is saying there's both, that when life is hard and you feel like you can't take it anymore, if you can remember and really believe that I'm with you and I see and I hear and I know, like Hagar when she was in the desert, mm-hmm. and she became aware and she said, the God who sees me, that can make a big difference in that moment of where you are.
Ted and I were talking a little bit ago, too, about we started the show just talking about how these scriptures are so important, too, because you can start the day, one little thing can maybe set you down the wrong path, and the enemy loves that, and all of a sudden, he's kicking that door wide open, and we're in this negative self-talk, and yet, God promises that he'll never leave or forsake us. So, Leslie, can we dig into some of those scriptures, too, when we come back after this break? I think this is so important.
Sure.
Great.
Leslie Vernick again joining us here on Faith Radio Mornings. We have links for her website. Find her blog too at myfaithradio.com and links to her book, The Emotionally Destructive Marriage, and her other book as well, The Emotionally Destructive Relationship. So we'll get back to Leslie Vernick and continue to dig in to the five words that can change your life next here on Faith Radio. It's 6:42.
And this is what we're talking about, too, just having that awareness that the Lord is with us, that he's alive in us and working through us. We're talking with Leslie Vernick today about five words that can change your life. And it's really about knowing and dwelling there in his presence. And Leslie, it's easy sometimes, I think, for us to say those words and kind of make it the Christian speak. But you're talking about really digging into God's word and having that truth guide us, too. What kind of scriptures did you find when you were doing this study?
A lot of scriptures that I actually put in the newsletter, but one scripture that I didn't put in the newsletter that I think most Christians are familiar with, but it's a powerful another meditation on this whole thing, was remember in Psalm 73 when David was complaining about how life was so unfair and how God, didn't protect him enough because mm-hmm. The bad guys were getting away with all the good stuff and the good guys were the ones who were suffering. And he was just really struggling with that whole temporal perspective. And I think so many of us do. And so, you know, he was complaining and he was feeling very, very discouraged. And then he gets to a point where he said, and then I entered the sanctuary of God and I understood their final destruction. And so he began to see things differently. But this is the part that I loved. He said, when my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you, yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. And so, you know, you were talking about when we start the day off and it goes bad and we're grumbling, complaining, we have all this negative self-talk. If we could remember, even then, God is with us always. He holds our right hand. And David was aware of that right in that moment, that despite my negativity, despite my bad perspective, despite my complaining against you, God, you still hold my right hand. What a powerful truth. Mm-hmm. But not only that, what a powerful grace to us to know that we don't have to escape his presence because we're bad, or we don't have to fear his presence. His presence is there, and it's available to us whenever we want it and need it, because he's always there.
Do you think that people fall into maybe the trap or the rut of compartmentalizing God and their faith, where maybe they'll have a great quiet time in the morning, but then off to work and the world is upon them? Is that a factor? And how do we break out of that? Just is it hiding scripture in our heart?
I think you're right, Ted, that we do compartmentalize scripture and we sort of, you know, put our spiritual side in the first 15 minutes of the day or the last 15 minutes of the day or maybe at lunchtime during prayer or not at all. And then the rest of the time we're not aware of God. And so one of the things that I say is our problem is not that God isn't present with us. Our problem is that we're not aware of his presence. And so you're right, during the day, they have different kind of exercises that we can do, but in the Old Testament, God said, you know, bind these truths around your neck or put those on tassels around your robes, that when you walk and those tassels tinkle, you'll know that I'm with you. You know, that the sacrifices of the animals made people aware of God's presence and the reality of sin and the reality of forgiveness. And we don't have those symbols today that help us to remember daily, and so we need to create them. And I think those are ways that we can train our mind to bring it back to the spiritual truths of, you know, can we set our watch to ding at noon, and that ding reminds us, oh, God is with us always. And those little things that we can do to just help ourselves remember the reality of God's presence, because in Scripture he tells us a lot, don't forget me, don't forget me. If things go well, you're going to forget me, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, and I think for me, what's really helped too is even, you know, how you're talking about the Scripture says, bind it on your heart, you know, and these sorts of things. And just bringing that Scripture with you, even on a post-it note or something, and I'll have one on the bathroom mirror, and I might take one and even keep it in my pocket, and then I'll even like touch that during the day, and it's like, oh, that's right, it's that reminder. Sometimes we need some pretty physical, tangible reminders too, don't we?
Yeah, my pastor has something he calls these Easter rocks he puts on his desk or whatever. He's hiking and he'll experience God's presence and he'll pick up a stone and that reminds him of that moment. Mm-hmm. You know, they did that in the Old Testament. Mm-hmm. They built these little rock memorials. And I have a client who made a beaded bracelet. She went to the bead store and she picked out beads that reminded her of different things of Scripture. And she wears this beaded bracelet all the time. And so even when she's typing or she'll look at her bracelet and she'll remember. And those are ways that we can train ourselves to associate, oh, yeah, I'm not just living in this temporal world. God is with me always.
And
that brings a different perspective right now.
Perfectly. And we've got a Live by Faith bracelet that we have, one of those rubber bracelets, you know, and we're giving those to our listeners too. And it's the same kind of thing, that we're not always walking and seeing things. We're living by faith. So I love that aspect of it, Leslie. Thank you.
Yeah, and another thing too that I've heard done that helps is even just picking one word out of that verse to remind you. So maybe the word always, and then it cites Matthew 28:20, where it's, I am with you always. I have a friend that does some Christian music with his brother and travels around and goes to youth events and stuff, and they have a t-shirt that just says never, and that's the Hebrews 13:5. He will never leave us, never forsake us. And it's just those one word words that can kind of speak volumes and remind us of the Scripture too. A good practice there. Leslie, for the person today that is getting going and wants to put this into practice, but they may need some help. What's your thought on maybe some accountability too from others?
You know, the Bible tells us how important accountability is, and I think that we are not meant to walk this spiritual journey all by ourselves. And there are times when I forget God, I forget His goodness, I forget His presence. And so if I can be humble enough to admit that to my husband or my friend, and I usually do in my grumbling, complaining, and someone will remind me I'm forgetting God. But when I'm asking for help, somebody else might have a great experience with God that day. And just being able to share those experiences, listening to other people's testimonies, listening to the worship of others when you're discouraged, can help remind you of the truth of the gospel, of the truth of the presence of God. And so we need one another in order to hold each other up during times of doubt and times of fear and times of stress. And so, yes, we need that accountability. We need that fellowship, that community of believers to together walk by faith.
Mm-hmm. Leslie, would you let our listeners know, too, if they'd like to sign up to get these email devotionals and the newsletters that you send out, how can they do that?
All they need to do is go to my website, and it's leslievernick.com, and at the upper right-hand corner, they can sign up for the newsletters. They get also a free report on 9 tactics of manipulators and how to avoid them, so I also get very practical in real life. But on my newsletters that come out about twice a month, I'm going to try to be a little bit more general and not just deal with destructive relationship topics. But these, you know, spiritual applications of our relationship with God are so important, even when you're in destructive relationships.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. I so appreciate these, and they just come to my inbox, and it just, even during the day, is that great reminder that there's Christian brothers and sisters like yourself to remind us that God is with us, and we need to just maybe recalibrate our thoughts to focus on Him a little more. So thank you so much, mm-hmm. Leslie. I so appreciate this.
Well, thanks for having me.
Leslie, I'm going to ask you a quick last question, something I've been asking people lately as we plan for our summers. Do you have any big summer plans? Are you going to do any trips or anything?
I am. I am speaking in San Diego at a marriage conference, and so I've decided to rent a house, and my son and friend and my daughter and her family are all coming, and we're going to just have a great big family reunion.
Oh, very fun. Well, great. When is that happening? June? July?
July.
July. Good. Well,
oh, good for you.
Our prayers with you as you plan that. That can be a lot of extensive planning there, too. So have a great time there, and we'll look forward to checking in with you again in a couple weeks.
Okay, great.